All right, you guys, you ready?
Ready.
Let's get into the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Amen?
Y'all ain't finished
that
yet.
Huh?
He was waiting until you were back.
There's always that one. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, when you left, we were on chapter 2, man. You missed the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Laodicea. You missed John being caught up in the rapture through the open door of heaven. You missed a lot of that.
Yeah, you better go back and listen.
Better read up.
All right, let's pray first. Amen. Father, we just come before you, and Lord, just thank you this evening that you have made it possible for us to be here and for us to go through your word, Lord. And Father, as we open this book tonight, we just thank you that it says that we are blessed, Lord. We're blessed if we open it. We're blessed if we hear it. We're blessed if we read it, Lord. And mostly we're blessed, Lord, when we keep it. So help us to do that tonight, Lord. Just help us to see what it is you want us to see, Lord, and understand what you want us to understand. And I know all of us here tonight, Father, are in different places in our spiritual walk, Lord. But, man, as we read this, may it spur us on, Lord, to learn more and get closer to you, Lord. Just know we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all keep walking your prayers. They got the flu over there at that house, so... I told him to come on in anyway and sit by one of y'all, but he didn't.
That's what she usually does.
Huh? Yeah.
Beverly's had a headache since yesterday.
Beverly's had a headache. And keep Beverly on your prayers too, man. Maybe it's gone because you're here. Come on, that was good, man.
She's the positive way.
That was good. My wife says her headache goes away when I leave the house. I don't know. So.
It was not a euphemism.
One of the things I want you to remember from chapter 1 is what? It's important. I'm going to keep reminding you every week.
What is?
And if we study this whole book, we'll be spiritually growing.
I want you to remember, man, I tried to change your perception of what Jesus looked like.
Well, there's a few things in chapter 1.
That's the one I want you to remember. What Jesus looks like now. In chapter 1, verses 12 through 19, I believe it is. It's not the same Jesus that came and had long hair and a nice tan and a long one-piece garment, man. He's not. He's got the eyes of fire and the sword coming from his mouth and the light that shines around him. That is the Lord Jesus today. Amen? Oh. And remember, in verse 19, Jesus gives us the structure of Revelation. He says, write down what? The things that you see.
Oh, yeah. Those that are.
Those that are. He's talking about what? The churches. And the things that shall take place after this. And we've seen already in chapter 4 that it mentions that already twice. Yep. Listen, in order to truly understand the book of Revelation, you need to understand the structure. And you know what the good news is? Jesus gave us the structure.
Yep.
We don't even have to guess. We don't have to wonder. He said, John, write down what you see. He did. Mm-hmm. Gave us a picture of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Write down the things that are. And he talked about the seven churches. And he says, and write down the things that shall take place after this. And that's where we're at in chapter 4 through 19, really through 21, 22. But we know in chapter 20, it's the thousand-year reign and the great white throne judgment, and Satan is gone forever.
Amen.
And then in chapter 22, what does he do? He makes all things new.
Wow.
For who?
Us. Oh,
for me.
You? No, me.
Too.
Okay,
no.
Yes.
Us.
Yes. All right. So John is going to... The title is pretty much John before the throne of God. And I just want to read to you what we went over last week. We're not going to cover it again because we've already covered it.
Yep.
Fair enough?
Yep.
All right, verses 1 through 6, 8. And after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Amen. Immediately I was in the spirit. In the spirit. Am I right?
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and like sardis, stone in appearance. Not a description, right? And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. I love that picture. The rainbow and what it represents.
Yep.
It represents God's promises. And it represents that he will never allow his sovereignty to go beyond what he has limited.
Yep.
What was this? What was the rainbow for?
Never.
A promise to never. And here it is, above the throne of God.
Yep.
Man. All right. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Can you picture that? Can you picture it?
Yep.
Oh, and from the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. Man, if you got a good mind's eye, you're ready to go home. Huh? Amen? All right, that's where we left off, so that's where we're going to pick it up, and we're going to talk about the four living creatures. And listen, I hope you got some ideas, because as we get into this, remember I told you in the beginning, I don't know everything, nor do I have all the answers. And if I can't show you or give you a definitive answer, I am not as scared to say,
I don't know.
All right, let's pick it up in 6B. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf or an ox. And the third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around and from within and within. Wow. Listen, remember I told you the reality of what John's trying to describe is always better than John's description. Because if you didn't know the Bible and I come up to you and I describe that scene to you, you would think it was a horror movie.
Yeah.
That's what I meant when I told you in the beginning. Remember, the reality of what John's trying to explain something to us.
In our language.
Yes, in our language that we can understand. So this really is a picture of beauty, of real beauty. Man, when you compare it with Ezekiel, and we understand these to be a cherubim, right?
Yeah.
Angels of some type. Spectacular, no doubt, right? And they're surrounding the throne of God.
The best part is what they see. Yes.
Yeah. All right. What do you think it means, full of eyes in the front and back, and then it ends with full of eyes all around and within? What do you think God is trying to show us, or
see all things?
And nothing is hidden.
Nothing escapes them. Oh,
nothing is
hidden.
Yes. I mean, it definitely indicates that these are intelligent beings, and these are not robots. Am I right?
Yes.
They know and they understand, and they have great insight, and they have great perception, because all the eyes, that's what that would represent. And I think these particular creatures have more perception intelligence than you and me right now. Not saying when we get there, but I'm saying right now. Amen?
I don't pack a whole lot, brother.
Huh? Yeah. Listen, picture this, man. These creatures right here that I just read about, their existence, they live, their existence is to worship God.
Yeah.
What a job.
Yeah, all day, all night.
What a job, right?
Yeah.
And you know, when I was reading this and I was sitting back, sometimes I have to just sit back and say, Lord, that's a lot. Amen. And then I got to thinking, all these eyes and everything, and what they try to say is, isn't any failure to truly worship God rooted in the lack of seeing and understanding?
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's not what's happening here.
Yep.
And I think that is represented
by what they're doing.
Because I want you to know something. There was a day when I got eyes, but I couldn't see I was blind. Blind to the truth. Even though somebody was standing there showing it to me,
but
was still blind to the
but
truth.
But I still think we suffer from blindness in a lot of ways. Right, until you start.
Sure, yes. That we have, what is it called? Where we choose to be blind. What is it called? Selective blindness?
Yes.
Omission.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We can see every character flaw in someone else. Right?
Well,
we can't see our own. Sometimes somebody has to tell us.
Suspect in the plan.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh. Now, I used to have a saying, man, if 10 people tell you you're a duck, start looking for feathers.
Yep.
Amen.
It's true.
It's true,
Why
man.
Why do you don't have that saying anymore?
It's true. Huh?
Why do you don't have that
I don't have that saying anymore. That's why I said I used to have that saying. All right, let's get into the difficult part here, and I'll remind you, man. I'll give you some of the beliefs or some of the people's ideas, but I'll tell you right now, I have no solid answer for you where I can go to the Bible or go to a scripture in Old Testament, New Testament, or whatever, and tell you what the face like a lion or the face like an ox or the face like a man or a face like an eagle, and what exactly. Now, don't think that there's not something God wants us to see and understand here. There is. Don't think that just because I don't know or you may not know that there's not something, that there's not a definition for it. You follow me?
Yep.
There is. There absolutely is.
We just can't say with 100% certainty.
Yes.
But that's not,
yes.
I guess that's not the point, right? The point is don't lose sight of the forest for the trees.
And I told you in the beginning,
right?
Don't get so focused on the details that you miss the whole picture.
It's all about what's happening in heaven. Okay, there's these creatures, but they're worshiping, man. That's the key,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes. So John describes four different creatures, am I right?
Yep.
And they all have a different face.
Yep.
Yes.
Man, lion.
Yep.
Yep. Man, lion, eagle,
ox.
Yes. Man. All right. I want to read to you. I want to compare Ezekiel's vision to you, because he talks about the same thing. There's a little bit of difference. The wings, the total of wings is different. But I want to read it to you from Ezekiel chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 through 10. And this is what Ezekiel says in his vision. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. Can you picture that? A fire eating itself? That would be cool. And brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces. Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Here it says four wings. In Revelation, there's six wings.
Six wings.
Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calf's feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. Listen, this would have been beautiful. These colors, these sapphires, these emeralds and stuff that he's talking about. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides. And each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four faces had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of each, one touched one another. Isn't that beautiful? And the two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. And they went wherever the Spirit wanted them to go, and they did not turn when they went. On a mission, sounds like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What chapter was that?
That's Ezekiel chapter 1. So, you know, John, now I just want to throw this out there because we're discussing this, am I right?
Yep.
So John sees these creatures and he identifies these faces. So is it possible that when I'm looking at Pat, this is the face he sees? So is it possible these creatures also have
four faces, like a box?
Four faces as well, but the only ones that John sees is the one that's looking right at him. Because if these creatures perhaps would turn their head, I'm not telling you that's what it says, but I'm telling you if these are the same creatures, it's a possibility that these creatures were looking at him, and they each were looking at him, one with a lion, one with a man, one with an eagle, one with an ox. But it's also possible that they had four faces on each one. Are you following me?
Yep.
Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
Remember, I didn't say they did. I'm just giving you some ideas. Amen. So anybody want to throw out the significance of the four faces? Because I'll tell you what. Nobody agrees.
No. There's a lot of opinions out there. I have a theory on one of them.
You do? Let me throw something up here first. Let me throw this graph up here. Because there's four different theologians, scribes, whatever you want to say. And it goes all the way back to Victorinus.
Yeah.
And then all the way forward to Clark. So, and what they believe is that they represent, each of these figures represent one of the Gospels.
Yep, that's where I was going.
That was you going? You understand what I'm saying? Let me give you an example. The Matthew, Jesus is known as the Lion
of Judah.
Lion of Judah, Lion of the true tribe of Judea. In Matthew, what is he known as?
Matthew, he's known as the Lion.
Mark,
he is the servant.
He is the servant. There's no doubt about that. I agree with that. That Mark comes at Jesus from a servant standpoint, right?
Right.
And then Luke, no doubt it's about him being fully man or
right.
the Son of Man.
Traces of the genealogy all the way back to Adam. It's
which,
second Adam.
Yes, yes. So that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Now, where you lose me is when it says John is the eagle, and what they say is
the deity.
Is that it's because Jesus came from heaven or Jesus came from the sky?
They said immediately John takes you from the earthly to the heavenly.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah. So, I mean, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me show you another graph.
And Mark would have been the ox because of the burden that Jesus carried for our sins.
Mark was the servant. He definitely came out of
an
a servant.
Ox would represent carrying a burden.
The servant too. You know, there's no doubt about that. Here's some ideas that some other people came up with. I know that Tammy sent me this because her preacher in California also taught on the Book of Revelation. And these were just some other things that these things could have meant. You know, let me give you an example here. The tribe, they all carried a standard. You know what I'm talking about, a standard? A thing with a flag on it, something on top. Now, when you read in the Bible, Judah carried a lion. There ain't no doubt about that. You can read that. Ephraim an ox, Reuben a man, and Dan an eagle. Again, Dan, you're going to have, that's a little
that's
sketchy.
That's a hard selling point.
Yeah, it is a hard selling point. And what about the other eight tribes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was where I was going. I'm like,
well, they were separated in groups.
I understand that, but why would he just mention four of the tribes? Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Are you following me?
Yep.
Face of a man, face of a lion, face of an ox, face of an eagle.
The four Gospels, I think, fits a little better.
Yeah. Huh? All right, man. Let me look up here. We already went over that one.
The gospel portrait is one of those.
The gospel portrait.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I'm looking at all this, I'm like, that's a stretch. I don't know.
All right. Let me read something else to you, and just throw it out there because I'll be honest with you. It's hard. I can't stand up here and tell you what it is, to be honest with you.
I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
But I can give you options. Amen? Is it significant? Probably significant.
We will know one day.
So these four beasts, when you look at them, man, lion, eagle, an ox, right? They all have principality in this world. What do I mean by that?
Yep.
They are intellectual creatures,
yep.
Right? Among intellectual creatures. So creatures, among, who's the intellectual creature here? That'd be man, right?
Yeah, right.
Among the birds, it's the eagle. Among the cattle, and among the wild beasts. So each of these has a kingdom, right? A kingdom of certain, and pretty magnificent kingdom, right? And they are, and listen, they are all under the throne of glory. Well, they are all represented around the throne of glory. Am I right? So perhaps, everybody say perhaps.
Perhaps
with these four things, these four faces that God is showing us, perhaps he's saying that all, that these four faces represent animate creation, and they all are there before the throne, meaning that everything comes under the power and the authority of God.
I like that. I like it.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's safest to say that these four faces are important because it represents all of creation in its excellence.
Yep.
Right? The lion is the mightiest among wild animals. The ox is the strongest of domestic animals. The eagle is king of all the birds, and man is the highest form of creation. And here they are, all represented right there at the throne room of heaven. And John, he points them out.
Yeah.
If it wasn't important, John wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
But he's always saying what God will let him say. So they are important.
And I think the importance there is that all of those in themselves are a kingdom, but they all worship Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they all come under the power.
They all come under, yes.
Yes, because these are the magnificent of their breed or of their
kind.
Of their kind.
Yeah.
What do you got, Chris?
Oh, yeah, you know I had some.
Huh? You got that look on your face, man.
Well, I was going to bring Isaiah to the forum.
Isaiah 6.
And it just talks about, you know, the creatures. He doesn't describe the faces.
Yeah.
But they were before the throne of God, and again they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," you know. And in Isaiah, you know, if you couple it in that passage and you keep it in context, it's talking about going for the Lord, it's talking about doing work for Him. And so when you put that together with the Gospels, you know, we're to go and preach the gospel to every creature. So I kind of couple that with the mission of God.
I read a couple of those
as
well.
They were on a mission, you know.
Well, let me ask you this: Would you preach that as 100% accurate?
It's 100%. If the Holy Spirit told me to.
Well, clearly He hasn't, right, Jason?
I'm probably just a lot simpler creature than all of y'all going on these goose chases.
Yeah, give us simple.
To me, and this is just kind of a book that I've been reading along with our study, but to me it's just a little bit more, maybe it's just a little bit more symbolic of some core. So the first living creature, like a lion, this creature represents the might and power. The second living creature, like an ox, just as an ox is engaged in faithful and patient service to its owner, so this living creature is engaged in humble service to God.
Yep. Right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah, it's definitely along the lines more of that. I kind of like the way, and then the third living creature with the face of a man. Scripture often portrays men as intelligent and rational beings, Isaiah 1:18.
So
this creature
wrong,
is similarly intelligent and rational.
Yep.
And then the fourth living creature, like an eagle, just as an eagle can fly swiftly and is considered the greatest of all the birds. So this creature is a great being who is swift in service to God. So like I say, I mean, these are all just theories we're coming up with, but to me it's kind of just, kind of a nice, simple strength, intelligence, patience, perseverance, service to God. To me, it kind of encapsulates what all those four creatures, kind of maybe what they're, while they're worshiping God, but kind of the core values of what they represent, too.
And, you know, when I was sitting there, Payne.
And just to throw a wrench in all of it, the eagle's actually translated to the vulture in Hebrew. That's in old scripture, when they mention the Hebrew, they mention a vulture.
Well, about time, right?
So let me tell you, sometimes we look at something like this and we say, and we're looking for a specific meaning. Well, maybe there's not a specific meaning, but a broad meaning, a bigger meaning. Not just saying, not just showing us one thing, but showing us many things, since there are many creatures and many faces.
Yep.
Amen? Yeah, Reuben.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do we know if John would have had privy to the knowledge of Ezekiel? Like, would he have known the description of those beings?
I would think so, man. John was pretty versed in Scripture. Yeah. I definitely would think that you met him on the street and you said, "Hey, Ezekiel 1." Of course, he didn't have Ezekiel 1.
Right.
Ezekiel's first vision, you know, because
And
John would say, "Oh yeah, the four living creatures, yeah," not knowing that one day he was going to be in heaven seeing these exact same
thing. And one thing that they all have in common, including Isaiah, Ezekiel, and they all portray the holiness of God.
Yes. They all worship.
They all worship God.
And they all come under the power and authority of God.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So
this is the fun part of Revelation.
Holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
You know, it's
holy, holy, holy.
The entire book is written in code. And I think that's where you get the double blessing a lot of times is, look at all the passages we just ran over to figure out one little part in this book. We went over all four Gospels.
Yeah.
We've gone over Ezekiel.
Yes.
And we still don't have the entire picture.
Yeah.
And that's, but during that time, you've learned everything. Okay, so now you've, why do you think this book comes with a special blessing?
That's right.
And I'm sure the answer's in there, because the code, if you haven't figured out, is the rest of the Bible to interpret Revelation. Like,
and you know,
I thought about this a long time.
We could have mentioned it here tonight.
Yeah.
We could have absolutely mentioned the absolute truth that God wanted us to see tonight. It's just that there's so many differing opinions that it sometimes casts, you know, confusion on, you know, what God's trying to say.
But did you learn something?
Yes.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I can't picture this in my mind.
How many in here knew that Ezekiel had a vision long before John even wrote this? I mean, honestly. Yeah. Now you know John had a vision, and it lines up kind of like, looking like, same faces. That's pretty cool, man. Well, so it means something. Yeah. I think the best, simplest way to look at it is, they all represent, they're the top in their class, if you would. Mm-hmm. But yet here they are, bowing down under the authority, under the power of God, singing, like Chris said, "Holy, holy, holy," coming under that.
That's the part of the message. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Whatever it is absolutely submitted and worshiped.
I think it's unique. They said "holy" three times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes. It is beautiful.
It's almost like they're pointing. Holy. Holy.
No, they're looking. They got four faces. Huh?
Yeah, let's not do that again.
That looked like what was that show? But you know, we're going to see these creatures. Make no mistake about it. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. We're going to see these creatures, and I promise you this: they're going to look a whole lot more beautiful than your finite mind is trying to describe them right now. They're going to be magnificent.
Yeah. That would have been a cheap description.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beauty we can't describe.
Yes.
And probably not as amazing.
I don't put much stock in dreams sometimes. When I first got saved, I was being pulled by the Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist, Pentecostals, you name it. They were trying to all get a piece of me. Nobody cared about me before I got saved. After I got saved, they all said, "Oh, you need to be one of us," you know. And I got real confused, and I laid on my bed and cried out to God and said, "God, somebody's got to be right." And I had a dream. I was climbing up this real steep rocky cliff, and I finally got over the edge of this big, beautiful green valley. And there was a golden street in front of the throne of God, and these angels and servants were crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And I came over the hill, and I looked down. I said, "You're real." And he said, "Now that you know that, go tell others."
And I mean, you know what he was saying?
I mean, that was just a dream. It wasn't. Yeah. I'm not putting any prophecy in there.
But we know God works through dreams.
Yeah.
He said, in the latter days, your men will dream dreams. That's what he said.
Yeah.
The old man.
But you got to be careful, too, interpreting in dreams. Because the problem with that is people have a dream and they try to they try to sync it up with God every dream. That's just not the case.
Sometimes you eat too many hamburgers.
Yeah, sometimes you ate too many jalapenos.
Yeah, the wrong pizza.
You're constipated.
So this is more back to verse.
Yeah, four different living creatures. It says four different living creatures. All right. And then it says, verse 4. Let's go on. So John is going to continue to describe what happens at the throne, and these four living creatures and what they do. And what do? They constantly worship
day and night
and praise God. All right. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Did Jesus not describe that? How many times have we read that particular statement in the Revelation so far? At least three. This is at least three. Amen. So that these cherubim, these beautiful, beautiful things, they constantly fly around the throne and they constantly say, "Holy, holy, holy."
I got one more thing to say, Brother Dean.
Yeah.
Remember, Satan was once in the presence of God. He was once in the anointed chariot.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about his authority.
Yeah. And he decided, man, he wanted to be like God. Yeah. He didn't want to worship God. He wanted to be like God.
Wow.
Yeah. So God's holy nature and character is described here. Not just described, but really emphasized.
Yeah.
I mean, emphasized with the three-time repetition, as Chris pointed out. Why? I absolutely believe why he's saying it three times. Holy, 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 God the Father, God the Son.
Barely, barely. Well, not holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. All right, the Lord God Almighty. We talked about this back in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. So the cherubim declare that the Lord is Almighty. You know what Almighty means, right? I want you to remember that. The one who has his hand on everything, in everything, hold everything. You know what I mean? I mean, he is the Lord Almighty. That's your God that you serve, man. If you got the same God as this church does, and I hope you do. Man, who was and is to come. What does that say? What does that speak to? Give me one word.
Omnipotent.
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Alpha. Who said yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Because that's like four words.
Jesus.
I came up with. Eternal.
Eternal. That's what it's saying there.
Yep.
Who was?
Who is?
Always was. Yep. Who is?
And is to come.
And is to come. There's a promise in there, sounds like. Right?
Yep. No expiration date.
There's a promise in there that he's coming.
Yep.
Who was and is to come. Definitely speaks of God's eternal being. It's hard to understand. And I explained this to you last week, that the fact that you and I exist, listen to me, when you look in that mirror, that is proof that something has always existed, period.
Amen. Amen.
Because if there ever was nothing, there would still be nothing. But the fact that you and I exist means something has always existed. Period. And that is our God.
Amen.
Our God.
Big, big God.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. All right, let's go on. Verse 9 through 11. They're going to worship God on his throne. So whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him, I want you to picture this. Because you're picturing them flying around, right? Are you picturing them flying around the throne? If you got the picture of the throne, the rainbow, the emerald, the crystal sea, all that stuff, the 24 thrones with 24 elders sitting around it. You got it?
Got it.
Ah. Whenever the creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their thrones before the throne, saying,
Thrones.
And cast their crown. That'd be kind of. cast, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and listen, and by your will they exist and were created." Wow. You guys picture this? So you got these beautiful creatures with faces of a lion, a man, an ox, and an eagle flying around, and they're singing what?
Holy, holy, holy.
And when they're singing that, there's the 24 elders, and they're taking off their crown at one certain point, whatever that point may be, and they're laying them before the Lord, and what are they saying? "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." There's just a constant praise and worship going on around this throne, man. Huh? You know, I was talking to somebody one time, and I was trying to explain this to them about heaven and how we're going to be there. We're going to be praising and worshiping God. And they said, "That sounds boring."
Stand back.
Oh my God.
Huh? They must not have ever been in God's presence before. Have you ever went somewhere and just stood at all at the beauty
of it?
Yep.
Like the Rocky Mountains or, you know, some other place, you just stood there. I mean, I remember I hadn't been to Rockies a long time, and I finally got a picture of those snow-capped mountains. I mean, I just drove up on them, and there they were, and I thought, I just pulled over and started worshiping God. I said, "Man, these things are so beautiful."
Yeah. Majestic. Yeah, I remember that Yellowstone. I was looking at that big mountain. I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
Half Dome.
Huh?
No, that's not Yellowstone.
But man, was it? Gonna be just standing at all.
Was it majestic, man? I think it's named. I think they named a vehicle after it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it
Grand
is.
Teton.
Grand Teton. Man, that mountain was huge. All right, so the worship of the 24 elders is prompted by the cherubim. Did you notice that?
Yes.
All right, since the cherubim worship God, how often?
Day and night.
So do the elders, right? Ah. So what does it mean when it says the 24 elders worship? That's the word that's used.
Yep.
If you're going to worship somebody, what are you doing? You're crediting to them.
That they're worthy.
That they're worthy, man.
They're worth it.
Yes. You're crediting them that they're worthy to be even praised and honored, right? Oh, so the elders credited God for their own work and their own reward. And I think that reward is kind of depicted by the crown that they wore on their head, right? Mm-hmm. Because it says they take off their crown and lay it at his feet or cast them before the Lord. But listen, does it sound like that this is like a repetitive thing?
Yes.
But you know what I think?
I don't know if John just showed up at this time and this is what God wanted him to see or not. But it does say day and night. And you know, there's no day and night in heaven. But he's just trying to give us an understanding that,
it's
hey,
a constant.
That it's a constant
it's
praise
a,
and it's a constant worship.
We look at that
worship.
And go, well, we're not going to do anything but that. No, we're going to have.
I'm good with that, though.
Well, I'm good with that. But he's got a job. He's got something for us to do up there. But everything we do will be in worship and awe and praise of him.
Yeah, I just want to be with him. I just want to be with him. I just do.
That's what John is trying to convey.
You know, the Bible does say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared." You think you can really visualize what your home in heaven is going to be like?
No.
Can
come
free
now. Also, look what's about to happen. You know, if you go to the next chapter.
Well, we're not there yet, man.
I'm just saying. It's not like he's showing up and then like, oh, I'm going to go back and he never sees anything happen. This is a prelude to what it's about to happen. So.
Yeah, there's some things that happen in the next chapter. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you read it all in context, that you know, the chapters, the visions are not like divinely inspired. Mm-hmm.
So as he's casting his crowns, his elders, what are they really saying?
You're worthy of it all. Right?
You're worthy of it all.
Yeah,
you are worthy of it all, man.
I think whenever we get to heaven, we're going to say that we're not worthy of anything we receive from him, too. I mean, because he did it all.
Yes. And you know, the Bible speaks of five crowns. It just so happens we just went over those five crowns. Yeah. We know that there's five crowns available. As we look at these crowns here, that I don't know which crown he's got, to be honest with you. I know it's in the original language, it's a Stephanus crown. The word used is Stephanus, meaning it means they were given because you were victorious in something.
Yeah.
You know, that's the crown that they would give an athlete for finishing the race or finishing first, right? Mm-hmm. So I do know that that is the kind of crown it is. It is a victorious crown. And this is right here. This is where we get the fact that the crowns that we went over, the five crowns we get, this is where we get the idea that we're gonna lay them back at Jesus' feet. And I'll be honest with you, there's no other places in the Bible where it says that. This is where we get it.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I earn something here from being obedient to him,
why wouldn't you?
Just give it to him. And then I get in front of him, I just want you to know those crowns ain't gonna mean a whole lot to me. Because I'm going to realize one thing. I don't get these
without him.
Amen. And he is the one who's worthy of those.
And I hate to keep going forward like this brother did, but man, when you read that next chapter, you're going to know why you took the crown.
Yes.
Yeah. You're going to know why you did.
Win it, man.
Well, you want us to read ahead.
I do want you to read ahead. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. What's that, Brady?
Yes. Don't we feel crowns?
Based on the verses we just read, yes.
Yeah.
We will lay
that in. They are doing right now.
That's where we get it from.
Yeah. That will be us.
Oh, I get it.
I told you guys last week, just because you see John sees 24 thrones. And I'm going to share something Spurgeon said with you here in a little while. But just because that's all he's seen doesn't mean that's all there is.
Oh, for sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
It says no eye has seen, or what you just said can.
there's so many theories on
that. 10 years to hear.
On the 24 thrones as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Personally, I believe 12 of those thrones is us, the church, believers.
Yes, because we know these elders.
12 are the apostles.
Who do these elders represent? Redeemed mankind. People.
Yes.
No doubt about it. We already went over that last week.
Yeah. Yep.
They absolutely do. Redeemed mankind. Say that five times real quick.
You can back that up in Matthew, by the way.
Yeah, we're going to back it up in the next chapter. Yeah. If you read ahead to what they're saying, they're saying you have redeemed us by your blood. So there's no doubt angels were not redeemed by the blood of Christ. So we keep trying to jump ahead into chapter 5. Let's finish this first.
Yeah, so who is the 10,000 times
10,000? That's us, right? That's angels. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about, 10,000 times 10,000. Jesus said, I cannot call down 10,000 by 10,000 angels.
Oh, he's going to tell you we ain't there yet.
Oh, we ain't there. Man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me read you something from Spurgeon. He says, our text says that all cast their... This is beautiful. Pay attention, man, because you can take a step forward in your spirituality just by listening to what Spurgeon says right here, if you're able to receive it. Listen, our text says that all cast their crowns before the throne. There are no divided opinions in heaven.
Amen.
No sects, no parties, no schisms. They're all in perfect harmony and sweet accord. What one does, all do. They cast their thrones without exception before the throne. Let us begin to practice that unanimity here. Oh. As fellow Christians, let us get rid of everything that would divide us from each other. We are divided, my friends. Or separate us from our Lord. I do not read that there was a single elder who envisioned his brother's crown and said, "Ah, I wish I had a crown like that." I do not read that one of them began to find fault with his brother's crown and said, "Ah, his jewels may be bright, but mine are brighter and are much more excellent." Oof. I do not read aught. You know, he speaks in 1800. I do not read aught of dissension. Then they were all unanimous in casting their crowns at Jesus' feet. They were all unanimous in glorifying God.
Amen.
Something we should learn to do here now.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah,
man. How much more now than when he wrote?
Man, that's Spurgeon, dude. He can step back and look at something and say, man, isn't that a beautiful
deep.
Unanimous? Everybody's acting in the same perfection.
Harmony.
Huh? Harmony, man.
Well, and the opposite of that would be casting the pearls before the swine. So, which would you rather do, obviously? You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
You want to think about it?
Okay. The end of that verse says, for you created all things. Who's saying this? For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.
The elders.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Man, the 24 elders worship God because of his creative power, his sovereignty, his authority, his glory.
Well, the beauty is like they've come to full knowledge.
Yes.
Like that's
yes.
Like, it's like whole.
These were people.
Yes.
But now are glorified
yeah.
human beings. And they have come to that full knowledge. They are right
about,
there.
When you're thinking about tonight, like in heaven, going, now I know exactly. Oh, you aren't going to be able to do anything but shout this.
Yes.
And lay crowns and lay crowns.
Yeah. So let me ask you, is that statement right? That he created all things?
Yes.
Without him, nothing exists?
Yes.
So what authority does that give him?
All
glory. You know what? I would not want to have taught evolution all my life in a school system and stand before God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have to give an account of why I did.
Yeah. We beat evolution down in just what, 10 minutes last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, beat it down. Evolution is the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on mankind.
Yep.
I'm just telling you right now.
And there's no facts about it.
There's no facts.
It's
none.
A theory. It's a theory.
It's
they call it Darwin's.
They do call
theory.
It the theory, right?
Yeah.
They teach us fact.
Oh, my.
Dean.
Yeah.
The King James says, for your pleasure, they are and were created.
Yes.
To me, I think that's
I like
more,
it.
I think it's more spot on.
I like that. Amen. For your pleasure. I don't think all things bring in pleasure, but I get the.
We are supposed to
I get
be
the,
worshiping.
The,
but when you think, but when you think about God creating you for His pleasure,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes you special. I mean, it makes you think, wow, you know, He created me not only for His will,
yeah.
I know that, but also for His pleasure.
You know, when you go back, as we just started Genesis chapter 1 as well. And when you said that, I just pictured God making Adam out of
dirt.
Yes. Dirt. I like dirt. Right? And I just know that he was doing that so that this man could bring him pleasure.
Yeah.
And then he breathed this. He breathed rock. The original language is rocka. And he breathed his spirit into him. So, yeah, and he would bring in pleasure for, we don't know exactly how long, but it wasn't very long. Yeah, Jason.
I think the most amazing part about that, and it's anytime you try to, like, when you really try to just, like, wrap your head around anything like eternity or,
yes.
like, kind of the almighty, like, you can't. It, like, hurts your head. Like,
yeah.
it'll,
exactly.
like, start to mess with my
yeah.
mind. But, like, that verse right there, it says, and by your will
yes.
they exist.
Yes.
That's... It's not even an action.
Yes.
That the entire universe exists. Like
yeah.
it's like your will is just something that like you desire, you do. Like that's just like for God, like our entire perfect universe, every star, every sun, every planet, every solar system, every cell in our body, every single thing exists just based off of
that's
his
right.
will. It's not even any physical
yes.
thing he has to do. And that's, I don't know, I just kind of...
He wills it.
I was just like, wow.
He wills it.
And
you know, I believe that when you die, you have been unwilled. Huh?
No, he wills you to be with him.
But he wills you death, you know. Do you think anybody can really die and God say, well, dang, that surprised me. I didn't see that coming.
Well, he said the Lord is not willing that he should perish.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, and not only would, man, when he says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, I mean, he proved it by sending his own son.
If he doesn't want,
so don't doubt that. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He really doesn't. But, you know, you get to make that choice. I get to make that choice. All right. Let's see what Spurgeon says here about the 24 elders. He says, because they represent all the people of God, the worship, the crown, the robes, the heart of these 24 elders belongs to us also.
Amen. Yes.
Oh. There is a throne in heaven, listen to this, that no one can occupy but you. And there is a crown in heaven that no other head can wear but yours. And there is a part in the eternal song that no voice can ever compass but yours. And there is a glory to God that would be wanting if you did not come to render it. And there is a part of infinite majesty and glory that would never be reflected unless you should be there to reflect it.
Wow. Thank you.
Wow.
Charles Spurgeon.
Do you understand what he's saying? That we, and you know what? The Bible bears it out. We are an intricate part
of his orchestra.
Of his, we will be. I know we are now to a large degree. But in the end, when everything is done and everything is made brand new and God's plan
it's
has been.
Brought.
We are, I don't even know how to say it, but we are a cog in the wheel. We are a. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are.
Don't worry. Be happy.
We're a feather in God's cap.
It's hard to understand because we know what it's
yes.
Now.
But there's a part for us to play. And it's an important part. And nobody can play it but you. And he has that place for you. That when we're all there and we're all singing, that if you were not there, it wouldn't sound.
It would be noticed.
It wouldn't be noticed. But you know, we talked about in Genesis how God hung the stars and counted them all and named them all. And it says that none of them were missing. Here's what I want you to know, man. If Jesus is your Savior and you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, and you've trusted Him for the forgiveness of your sins, and He's accepted you, amen, and you've invited Him into your heart. Listen. Your place in this whole picture is secured. Not because of you, but because of Him. And we'll be there, and I won't sound so terrible as I do now.
I think God's going to want me to sing in heaven.
All right.
Huh?
Well,
new voice is coming
up. He's going to
break
your
heart. All right. I didn't finish reading that. You ready? Let me finish it up. We'll be done. Remember what he's talking about? Being in heaven, you have that place, that thing to do, you know, the crown and the sing and all that. All right. But it also means that we should plan ahead for that great day.
Amen.
Amen? That bears the Bible. That bears out. If you and I should walk into some great cathedral where they were singing and asked to, where they were singing and asked to be allowed to sing in that great choir, they would ask whether we had learned the tune. And they would not let us join unless we had learned the tune. Nor can we expect that untrained voices should be admitted into the choirs above. Now, dear brothers and sisters, have you learned to cast your crowns and to worship at the Savior's feet?
That's what I was just thinking of. Like, I gotta start practicing.
Yeah. But listen,
I am still learning.
And that can be literal.
Yes.
But it also means spreading the gospel.
Amen.
It means being the servant. It means being involved. It means not being focused on the world. It means understanding that you're just here for a vapor. You're a vapor.
Yeah.
You're here today and gone tomorrow. It means understanding that you're storing up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
Oh, it just means so many different things. And Jason, what Jason was talking about earlier about this heaven and this eternity and all that. Listen, you know what I've learned, Jason, over 30 years? The more I know about him in here, the closer I am. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
Sometimes I can almost hear these guys. I'm just telling you, sometimes you can, you know, when you're just walking in the Spirit. Do you believe you can walk in the Spirit?
Yes.
It's almost like sometimes you can hear those sounds of heaven.
You can feel it in your
being. You can feel it in your...
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And those are the times when you just break out in song.
Amen.
Man, I'm just telling you. You should know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. And I'm telling you, the more of this, not you get into here, but get into here... Oh man, it's just awesome.
Euphoria.
It is, man. It'll keep a smile on your face and a skip in your step.
Yep.
Until you die, like we all do. Only here, though, death has no power.
Nope.
Amen. So read ahead in chapter 5. I guess everybody's in a hurry to get there. Father, we just come before you, Lord, just thanking you again for this time, man, and you're an awesome God. And Lord, we just thank you that your Spirit was here with us, Lord. And Father, just help us to remember this, to meditate on some of the things you've shown us around this throne, Lord, and the 24 elders and what's going on and what they're singing and what they're saying and what they're doing. And Lord, we can start doing that here. Just know we love you, Lord. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.